Hey, everybody! I'm here, Luella Parsons, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood
to lick it right, lick it good, show you how to.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo
Mouth. I got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And well, shit, y'all. How you all doing on this sunny, sunny Wednesday here in New York City, or whatever day it is, actually, that you may be listening to your best gal pal, Munoz. How are we doing, y'all? How are we doing? We're halfway through week 10, or week 11, or week 12, or maybe week 5 for some of y'all out there protesting. But I doubt anybody of that nature is listening to this podcast. Well, if you didn't know, today is National Quiche Lorraine Day. And it's also National Pick Strawberries Day. And you know that during this, like, self-isolation, quarantine, whatever the hell you want to call it, I love a double day because, or a triple day, because we don't know what day it is. So, you know what? I love a little variety. I love that we could just, you know, pick our own adventure, food adventure for the day. But if you're going out to walk children in nature, you can find some wild strawberries to pick, because ain't nobody going to the strawberry fields forever to pick some strawberries. Maybe you are socially distant. Can we do that, socially distant? That's, and then now I'm thinking about the migrant workers and, oh God, that's depressing. So National Quiche Lorraine Day, delicious, right? Who doesn't love a good quiche Lorraine? Well, whatever you're doing out there, and if you're on a cooking journey, why don't you make something with strawberries this week? Strawberry inspired, or, you know, everyone loves a good quiche. I love an egg. Who doesn't love an egg? I don't think I have friends who don't like eggs. And if you are one of those people, don't tell me, because I may have to unfriend, block, and report. You know what else I found interesting? As we do every week, I love to travel back in time and give you a this day in gay history. But there isn't one. There isn't one for like the next week, actually. And I get all my this day in gay history from a website called The Lavender Effect. Join the movement and the future of LGBTQ plus heritage and culture. I love this site. It's super educational. So I decided to give you the May 19th, this day in LGBTQ history. And I found out in 1975, gay porn phenomenon Jack Wrangler, who I've never heard of before, is born when a sometimes struggling 28-year-old actor, Jack Stillman, steps on stage between porn films at the Paris Theater in Los Angeles and performs a live striptease in Western drag. I love that they call it Western drag. I'm living for everything. The son of an established show business family, his father was one of the most successful producers of Bonanza. Bum, ba, bum, 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 Bonanza. Stillman takes his screen name Wrangler from the famous brand of cowboy jeans. You know what? I haven't tried on a pair of Wranglers in a long time. And now that I'm giving you my, or I should say, living my best dad bod life during this quarantine, maybe they'd look real cute. What do you think? Maybe they'd look real cute. I think you get them at like a Walmart these days, yeah? How do you feel about that, y'all? Sorry, I'm a little parched. I know, it sounded like a fart. I may edit that out, I may not. Who cares? But in researching Jack Wrangler, also known as John Robert Stillman, he was an American gay and straight pornographic film actor, theatrical producer and director, and a writer. Open about his homosexuality and adult film work throughout his career, Wrangler was considered an icon of the gay liberation movement. So, aren't you glad that I turned back to home? just to bring you a little bit of Jack Wrangler. Y'all, look up some Jack Wrangler images. If the Marlboro Man and Herman Munster had a kid, it would be Jack Wrangler. And I am here for it. I am here for it. I think he even has like an autobiography or a biography written called The Jack Wrangler Story. Ooh, yeah. Well, that's this day in gay history. Well, as you all know, there's a lot happening in the food world, but not at the same time because mostly everything is shut down and people are getting creative. So I've kind of turned into doing a lot more of, you know, a lot more food news, which I should have been doing since the beginning, since it is my favorite part and your favorite part of the pod. And so why don't we turn on the gossip grill? The gossip grill. The gossip grill. Ooh, honey, you ain't ready for the gossip grill. Turn up the heat. I just came up with that. Because I find this ridiculous. Do you get it, though? Wait. Do you get the gossip grill? Because it's like Hot Topics, but it's about food. Turn up the heat. The gossip grill. And I love that Us magazine has a whole, like, Us food section. And I actually really wanted to start with Miss Leslie Jordan herself. Well, shit. How y'all doing? Because I'm in love with that little Southern man I am. He is the best. And if you're not following him on Instagram, it's the best content. I think when I started following him, he was under 1 million followers. And I think he's just crossed the 5 million mark during this thing. Well, Miss Jordan has been cooking up a storm and most recently went to go make cornbread. And now it's the case of the missing cast iron pan. Somebody done stole Miss Jordan's cast iron pan. I feel like we need to start a GoFundMe or something. Or, hey, All Clad, Le Creuset, Great Jones, anybody out there. You got a cast iron pan? I bet you it would be real good for you to send one to Leslie Jordan at this time so he can make his corn bread. Ms. Jordan has also been seen throwing a little bit of shade at Ms. Rachel Ray, which I lived for. I think the quote was, well, I'll take my 3 million followers and start my own home cooking network, Ms. Rachel Ray. You better watch out. I live for the shade. But I really want to talk about Leslie Jordan because he just came out with a line of T-shirts that all the proceeds are going to Glessen, G-L-S-E-N. And Glessen, which people are calling it, is a United States-based educational organization working to end discrimination, harassment, and bullying based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, and to prompt LGBT cultural inclusion and awareness in K-12 schools. I think it's great. I love him, and I love that he's doing something great during this time with all his followers and in the most ridiculous way. So go support Miss Jordan if you can. And shout out to you, Glesson. I am here for it. And the T-shirts are cute. They have quotes on the back. I think he's running some sort of contest now that you can get a 40-minute Zoom session with him just shooting the shit. I mean, I'd be here for that. So go to his site. I fully support. Not sponsored, but I love him. Also perusing this Us food, I just felt it. It's so ridiculous. Like, why do we even care about some of these topics? Like, foodie alert, Kim K's favorite eats include McGriddles, Tim Tams, and more. Well, of course it does. Of course she does. Of course those are some of her favorite eats. Why? Because she can just go to the doctor and get it all sucked out, honey. That booty ain't real. Those breasticles ain't real. Honey, I live, though. Kim Kardashian, send me some money so all I can eat are McGriddles and Tim Tams. times. Yes. Or like headlines like Gigi Hadid, Kanye West, and more stars eating in foreign countries. Well, what else are you supposed to do when you go to foreign countries? Are you supposed to pack a bagged lunch? No. So dumb. Anyways, update. Last week, I talked about Alison Roman and the Chrissy Teigen drama. Alison Roman apologizes a second time for Chrissy Teigen. Ooh, and she blames her insecurities. Once again, why do we care? We should be lifting each other up at this time, not tearing each other down in that way, you know? I mean, maybe she was joking, but she wasn't joking, y'all. She wasn't joking. My most favorite celebrity headline at this time is Robert Pattinson nearly burned down his house while microwaving pasta. Now, I didn't realize Robert Pattinson was working after those Twilight movies. I'm not really a big movie buff here, but apparently he is, and apparently he almost burnt down his house because... Oh, pretty boy. And I don't even really find him that attractive. Ooh, I personally think she's not aging that well, but that's another story for another time. But bitch put some tinfoil in a microwave. Some tinfoil in a microwave. But listen to why he did it. This is ridiculous. So Us Food goes on to say, the Lighthouse star, 33, didn't even know he was in Lighthouse, and I heard that was a really weird movie, who was on the cover of GQ's June 2020 issue, revealed to the publication that last year he entertained the idea of starting his own pasta business that would give the Italian staple the same kind of fast food credentials as burgers and pizzas. He was trying to create handheld pasta. How the fuck do you make handheld pasta? And why do you think that's a good idea, first and foremost? So it's called Piccolini Cuscino, which means little pillow in Italian. So he was trying to, like, microwave pasta, and one thing led to another where he was adding, like, sugar and layers of sliced cheese to this pasta. And he even goes on to say, it doesn't matter what kind of sliced cheese, just layer. And he put it all on a tin foil and threw it in the microwave. What a dumbass. I mean, what is wrong with people? But I am no better. A better story or a funny story I have is that one time I was trying to help my friend Magda feed her kids out in like Middle Village, Long Island. And we were melting butter for some reason. I think I was making mac and cheese. And sometimes butter comes in that paper that looks like aluminum foil, but I didn't actually think it was aluminum foil because it's paper on the other side. But it is actually like kind of foil wrapped wax paper. And she was like, she's very Polish. And she's like, Mikey, you cannot put that in microwave. And I was like, of course you can. It's paper. It just looks like foil. Well, let me tell you, 2 seconds later, that shit was sparking and I was screaming like a big old queen. So maybe I am just like Robert Pattinson. Yes, I wish I had his money. And I feel like I'm aging better is all I'm going to say. But Robert Pattinson, what are you doing? How much is Robert Pattinson worth? Hold on. Robert Pattinson net worth. I mean, he's worth $100 million. Don't you think he should just be able to pay somebody to figure this out for him if this is what he really wants to do? Robert Pattinson, this is a boot, honey. Stick to your day job, which is making a lot of money, because I feel like that movie did very well for him, that Lighthouse movie. Anywho, other ridiculous celebrity food headlines for the week are Courtney K gets real about quarantine diet. I ate 4 cakes and 2 eggs. Bitch, I could eat 4 cakes in about 2 days these days between the depression, the loneliness, the pure hunger of it all. You ain't special. But send me money and sponsor my podcast. Oh my God, there's this very cute video of Gabrielle Union's daughter, Kavia's candy challenge that didn't go as planned. Kavia's, is that how you say her name? I don't know. But go watch that. Oh my God, Bethany Frankel reflects on near-death allergic reaction in emotional post. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but Bethany Frankel is very allergic to fish, like deathly allergic to fish. There's even an episode where she almost dies by eating fish of Real Housewives of New York. So I don't know how she doesn't live in a fish-proof bubble, but while on vacation, she legit almost died. I miss her on Real Housewives of New York. It's just not the same. There's nobody with that, like, New York, like, no bullshit, like read you to filth, and yet still have a meltdown at the same time while being right about reading you to filth attitude on there. Well, I am glad, and that is not some tomfoolery. I am glad she is well, because I do enjoy her. And she does a lot of great things for the world with her, I forget the name of her charity at the moment, but her Be Strong charity. And she helped Puerto Rico during Hurricane Maria. She's helped a ton of people during this a coronavirus pandemic. So yeah, shout out to you, Bethany Frankel. And I am glad you are doing well. Mariah Carey and more stars get creative with birthday cakes in quarantine. I could probably watch Mariah Carey read the phone book at this at this point during the quarantine. Can't you? I think this is like... We should turn the gossip grill down to low now and move on to some other hot topics in the food world that don't deal with ridiculous celebrities. Things such as restaurants. So we're beginning to reopen slowly. Some states are just, you know, turning the valve way up and or on and just, you know, it's pandemonium. And just opening their restaurants at full steam ahead. But apparently, some restaurants, according to Munchies.com, will use shower curtains and mannequins for social distancing while they try to figure out. I don't know if you know, but a lot of restaurants are going to have to cut down their capacity limits. And so they're just trying to figure out the best things to do. And one of them is going to use like shower curtain dividers. Another one's going to use like plexiglass. There's this restaurant that is going to dress up mannequins. There's this restaurant called Bord for N. I don't even know if I said that. It's called Table for One. That's Swedish. Bord for N. And it allowed its first guest to walk into the middle of a Swedish field and take the only seat available. The restaurant is the, if you can call it that, is the world's only single outdoor table and was designed to allow each customer to enjoy the ultimate socially distant meal. And so it doesn't require them to interact with another person at any point during the evening. There's no host, no wait staff, and all three courses inch their way to the table on a rope and pulley system that the owners operate from the kitchen. Oh my God, is this really going to be our future? This is crazy, guy. At Twisted Citrus, a breakfast and brunch joint in North Canton, Ohio, its reopening plan includes taking employees' temperatures before they clock in for work, installing hand sanitizing stations, and hanging clear shower curtain liners between the tables. The owner says, "I don't know if I'm going to open to a full house or to crickets." And this is Kim Shapiro, the owner. "I don't really know what the appetite is for customers who will come back to visit us." So that's really interesting. And now the question becomes, how often do they sanitize their shower curtains? They're looking into like UV rays and throwing them into the dishwasher and so on and so forth. Michelin-starred chef Dante Boccuzzi may not open all 12 of his Cleveland area restaurants right away when the state officially allows restaurants to resume their dine-in service. But when they do start welcoming customers, they'll be equipped with plexiglass dividers that he's designed to put in between tables. Basically, they're creating cubicles. Would you all want to eat in a cubicle or in a shower curtain or in a field alone. I mean, I think the field is like extreme. That's called a picnic, isn't it? I don't know. Send me your thoughts, y'all. Send me your thoughts. This guy, Roberto Santi, dropped $10,000 to have 17 portable wood and plexiglass dividers made for his St. Louis restaurant, Roberto's Trattoria, or Trattoria. After the virus is gone, I might keep them, he said. They look that good. I don't know. Or will this make the restaurant more intimate? So, you know when you go to that restaurant and it's just so loud you can barely hear the person across from you because it's super popular and whatnot? Because I only go to super popular restaurants. I just don't know how this is going to work. Lastly, like I was talking, the Little Inn, or I should say the Inn at Little Washington, plans to fill its dining room with mannequins dressed in circa 1940s attire. The waitstaff will also be asked to fill the mannequins' wine glasses and have cheerful one-sided conversations with them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Oh my God. You're just sitting at the table and the waiter's talking to the mannequins next to you. Oh, so how was your meal? Yes? Oh, you didn't like that? Oh, you found a pubic hair in your food, sir. Let me take that away from you. I'll be right back. Oh my goodness. Sorry it took so long. Yes, I'll take that right off your check, Karen. Oh, you want to speak to the manager? Sure, right away. No, yes, this is Diet Coke. Yes, this is decaf coffee for the 10th time. What'd you say to me? I cannot, y'all. Chef Patrick Connell has also created his own masks, which have been printed with Marilyn Monroe's smile or George Washington's chin. That would be scary boots. That would be scary boots. I don't know. Talk to me. How do you feel about that? How do you think we should be reopening? What's the solution here? I don't even know myself. What's the first thing you're going to, or where's the first place you want to go after this is all over? You know, you always email me at inyourmouthnyc@gmail.com or hit me up at inyourmouthpod on Instagram, on Twitter. You could even hit me up on my other Instagram, at the Kitchen Gailey. That's Gailey with a G, not Daily with a D, because Gailey with a G goes G, not D. Yes. Lord, I don't know what the answer is, but if you have an idea, let me know. Continuing down that route, restaurants are being harassed for adding COVID-19 surcharges to the customer bills. So I'm sure you all have heard the cost of meat is going up as this pandemic rages on. Thank you, munchies.vice.com. And now it's a question of who should fit this bill. Is it the restaurants or is it the consumer? You tell me. I mean, yeah, that's a hard one because the restaurants are already losing so much. And so they've added this like COVID-19 surcharge because it's not going to last forever. So it'll just go away as opposed to printing whole new menus that may cost them a bunch of money to just up their prices to only reprint them later on when the cost of meat goes down. And so there's this backlash that's happening, a whole bunch of Twitter shaming and whatnot because people are mad and it's like people are calling it BS or blaming it on demons who are using the money to help fund the police state. So what is wrong? What is wrong with people? Can somebody ask me an answer? Riddle me that, Batman. What is wrong with people? You know, and like some people, the restaurants also need to like cover the fee of all the extra PPE for its employees, you know, and I don't know. Here we go again. What's the best way to help the restaurants recover, especially now that the cost of meat is going up? Y'all, I paid $15 for three breasts of chicken the other day.
Three chicken titties. Three. Okay, yes, they were organic, Bell and Evans, but honey, I mean, I even started to go to my local butcher, shout out Esposito's, and I try to go there, but normally the grocery store, you know, I go back and forth because sometimes they have the better price. You know, I'm like a major couponer. I'm not really, but I know where the deals are. But I started going to the butcher because I said to myself, well, if I'm going to pay this exorbitant amount of money for meat, why not get the best I can possibly get at this point because it's all expensive? And then I started to wonder why the meat is so expensive. And it's obviously so expensive because, you know, these factories are shut down. The factories have been ridden with the coronavirus and had to, you know, just shut down and kill livestock and whatnot. And according to this article in Time.com, this was supposed to be a big year for America's industry. As recently as late February, the USD livestock analyst predicted record-setting meat and poultry production as economic growth and low unemployment boosted demand for animal protein. It's insane. Beef production was down nearly 25% year over year, while pork production was down 15%, according to the USDA's weekly report. You know, and this is because Tyson and many other meat processing companies across the countries have paused operations at a number of plants where the workers have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I found this op-ed via CNN about, like, sympathizing with the meat workers because a lot of these meat workers, you know, they're in these factory towns. They don't make a lot of money. And workers at meat processing plants have described having little or no social distancing on the job simply because enforcing social distancing would require slowing down production. And if production slows, companies will see decrease in profits and consumers will have to pay more for meat. And this is why you're paying more for meat, because the food chain is breaking. The entire food chain is breaking down. Farmers are throwing out produce. There's no work because people have this virus. The milk is getting dumped. And there's like no system in place to recover this for all those people who need the food, who are now on the bread lines, those lines that you see all over this city, at least, and maybe in your cities too, that are like around the block, wrap around the block and down the avenues and around the next block. It's insane. So I'm not really surprised that these restaurants are starting to charge a surcharge for a COVID-19 surcharge. I don't blame them. And once again, I don't know what the answer is, but if you're wondering why you're paying more for meat, this is it. This is it. And this is not going away for a while. This is crazy. So what's the answer? Do we start eating more produce? Are we all going vegan these days? It may be great. It may be good for us, you know? Or we could just be like Khloe Kardashian and start eating cakes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, on a lighter note, there's an Alaskan man that's making 14-hour Costco runs by boat to ensure his town doesn't go hungry. Now, that's amazing, right? So there is this Alaskan town called Gustavus, right? And it's a remote seaside town that's situated in southeastern Alaska. Less than 500 people call this small town home. And actually, moose actually outnumber people there. Sorry, I stuttered, or I had a minor stroke here, because I was like, is moose the plural of moose? Yeah, I had it. Like, my brain didn't think as fast as my mouth was moving here. Moose? Meese? Meeses? Mices? No. Moose. Mooses. Moose. It's definitely moose. But you know what your brain does that? I like meeses. So meese or meese, moose, meese, yeast. I don't know what road am I going down. So moose, it's right because Delish.com is reporting this. Moose actually outnumber the people there. The town is just 38 square miles and it is surrounded by ice fields of Glacier Bay National Park on three sides and the Atlantic Ocean on the fourth side. So obviously, since there are no roads, they're getting their all their food from either by plane or by boat. And so now that we're all quarantined and self-isolated, that obviously has become a lot harder. Now, there's this guy named Toshua Parker. Yes, you heard right. Toshua in a town of Gustavus. What in Narnia hell is this place? No, but this is great. This is a great little story. I sound like number 45. This is great. This is a great little story. No. Toshua Parker, he's a resident and a grocer. And it's crazy. This man leads a team on a 14-hour voyage every week to ensure these residents don't go hungry. It's 7 hours by sea to Juneau, Alaska, where he uses his Costco card to stock up on $20,000 worth of essentials, including canned goods, eggs, flour, meat. That's where most of that $20,000 is going, according to this last story. Produce, and you guessed it, toilet paper, as well as personal orders from his neighbors. He then turns around and makes a 7-hour voyage back. That's like an entire day plus, guys. That's crazy. And gals and everybody in between, and theys and them. He owns a grocery store, Icy Strait Wholesale, and once it's stocked, he notifies the town via the store's Facebook page. People love him, and they're very, very quick to show his appreciation. Thank you, Toshua, Cassie, and all the wonderful employees at Toshco that keep Gustavus stocked. We are fortunate to have such dedicated people working to keep us fed and supplied. Toshua pretty much saved the town. Gustavus Mayor Cassipit said in an interview. Cassipit, really? Where are people getting these names? I really don't know what we would have done without him. This is a beautiful story of a little lost town in Narnia, Alaska here, that I really loved and warmed the cockles of my heart. And if you look him up, Tasha was real cute. He's got long hair and it looks like he may have a big, Oh my goodness, folks. Have y'all filed your taxes yet? If you haven't, I have. And that stimulus check paid my taxes because I owed Uncle Sam some monies, honeys. But if you hadn't, Natty Light is giving you free beer if you file your taxes. So if you're a beer lover, hop in on this deal. So as you all may or may not have heard, July 15th is the new date to file your taxes. And if you file, if you decide to file your taxes with Tax Act, you can get a free case of Natty Light. This is a non-sponsored post. I found this on Delish.com. I want to know where all these people get their food news. Between US Food or Us Food in Us Weekly, to Delish.com, to Munchies. And why hasn't anybody caught on in 16 episodes in the over 2 years I've been doing this podcast that I need to be getting all the press releases? Can somebody help me out with that? Hello, Jonathan Valdez or anybody out there? Somebody. You know how to reach me. Anywho, the beverage brand, back to this Natty Light, the beverage brand is teaming up with the service to give you this offer, so you'll have to upload proof. The free beer will technically come in a rebate, so you'll purchase whatever Natty Light product you want. Even Natter Days or the hard seltzers, yes. You know how the gays are living for a hard seltzer these days. So, you'll upload confirmation from TaxAct to naturallight.com. Then you'll be issued the rebate for your case of drinks. You know what? Who doesn't love some free beer during this time? So if you're sending your grandson out to get your groceries, make sure you give him your Natty Light
coupon. Yes. Folks, there is a creamery in Hong Kong that is making tear gas ice cream to support protesters. The gelato is made using roasted black peppercorns to imitate the experience of being sprayed in the face with a chemical weapon. Now, why you would want to eat this, I don't know, but I love the message behind it. So, the pro-democracy demonstrations that filled the streets of Hong Kong last year have decreased in both number and intensity, obviously because the stay-at-home orders and the spread of the coronavirus. But last week, demonstrators again filled a luxury shopping mall after 15 high-profile activists were arrested and accused of coordinating three massive protests last fall. And so, although the city isn't echoing with the sound of defiance right now, thank you, Munchies, the owner of one ice cream shop is doing his part to ensure that Hong Kongers don't forget what they spent months fighting for. The 31-year-old shop owner, who has chosen not to be identified because he fears he could face consequences, is currently selling scoops of ice cream that taste like tear gas. We would like to make a flavor that reminds people that they still have to persist in the protest movement and don't lose their passion. The secret to a dessert that doubles as an irrant is the whole black peppercorns that are roasted and made into creamy gelato. The owner said that he experimented with wasabi and mustard, but black pepper came closest to recreating the experience of being sprayed in the face with a chemical weapon. It tastes like tear gas. It feels difficult to breathe at first, and it's really pungent and irritating. What? It makes me want to drink a lot of water immediately. Anita Wong, who both took part in the protest and was tear gassed by the cops. I think it's a flashback that reminds me of how painful I felt in the movement and that I shouldn't forget. I love the message behind this. And I mean, we can call this What would you call this? Like, it would be gastro-reminiscence? Gastro, you know, what's that word? What's the word I'm looking for to, like, you know, remind you of? I don't know. It'll come to me. Gastro-memories? Gastro-memories? I don't know. I found that really, really interesting. And who wouldn't want gelato that tastes like tear gas, right? Right? He was also considered giving away gas masks with his ice cream cones. I have a license to sell and I can attach free gifts if I want. I'm not breaking any laws. I am here for it. I support you. You know, and anyone trying to fight the man for what is right, folks. Well, before I close out on this very interesting pod, I don't know if you heard, but there's a new cooking hack on TikTok. First, we had, did I say TikTok? TikTok. First, we had Dalgona coffee. Now we're getting like mini pancakes and mini croissants and as cereal. And the newest TikTok, why do I keep saying TikTok? TikTok cooking hack. That's why. TikTok cooking hack or TikTok cooking hack is milking cucumbers to make them taste less bitter. Yes, you heard me. I need to say it again. Is milking cucumbers to make them taste less bitter. Did you get that? Milking cucumbers to make them taste less bitter. WTF. And who is this? Kristen Salicki, my hero from Delish.com, did this. And I mean, what is wrong with the internet? And why would you want to do this? Let me jerk off a cucumber over here, because that's what it sounds like till you actually look at it. And it's still kind of sexual nonetheless. But apparently this was first spotted thanks to BuzzFeed when user at basically perfect outlined how to milk your cucumbers. She identified it as kind of a cooking secret she learned via her sister-in-law, and it basically requires that you chop off the end of a cucumber and rub it on the slices until it gets white and milky. Apparently, in the end, it tastes fresher and juicier. There's a video, and basically you cut off the tip, and then you rub that tip on the other end, and it gets really frothy and milky. And how this is not banned for being so sexual, I don't know. It's ridiculous, and people will do anything these days. If you all out there are milking your cucumbers, I will definitely take those videos in any form that you send me them. Okay? Okay, I mean, and I don't see a better way to end this pod, y'all. I hope you all are staying safe out there. Lube your hands before you milk your cucumbers, and then make sure you wash them thoroughly afterwards. And as always, I want to thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.